In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As ever in this Epiphany season, our opportunity is to better understand who God is, what God does, and what that means for us as Christians. Today in our first reading, Isaiah asks and answers these questions. He knows that the people of God often get them wrong. We're told by Isaiah that our God is cosmic, sovereign, more powerful than the nations whose princes rise and fall at God's will. A God who sets the starry firmament in order, and so it goes. But then what might sound like religious poetry at best, or mythological gobbledygook at worst, reveals its point. That God is our God, trustworthy, empowering the faint-hearted, supplying energy and vigour even greater than that of youth. But of course, we can only dare to hope that all that might be true if God is indeed as powerful, as omnidextrous, as Isaiah says. This message of Isaiah and of our psalm, which echoes it, might come through more strongly in today's world if we unpack its original context a little. All those things over which God's sovereignty is declared by Isaiah and the psalmist are the controlling forces that ran the ancient world. These were pagan deities charging the physical world with sacred power, from the heavens and the stars to the nations, each with their protecting gods. And nowhere in that ancient world did people matter to their gods, which is why Israel's story of their God, who was close to the oppressed and the brokenhearted, sounds so strikingly different. For us then, whose world is run by stock markets, by the flow of global capital, by social media, and by all those individually and collectively destructive psychological mechanisms, the message of a God who's above all that, yet who reaches through all that with tender care, remains every bit as remarkable, though I hope now it might seem a little more accessible. The cosmic impact is the same, though now the invisible forces that our God outs and disempowers are forces that we humans have generated and which now oppress and degenerate us. Now, looking to the Gospels, the point is always in the Gospels that where the loving God of Israel is, there we find Jesus of Nazareth, the one who Christians have come to know and proclaim as God with us, as God for us. So, in Mark's Gospel today, Jesus is doing what the God of Israel does, healing and blessing, overcoming the forces that control and diminish human life. These forces used to be understood as things that go bump in the night. Now, they're things that go bump in the economy, in geopolitical warmongering, on social media, in cult-like fascination with authoritarian populism, in family dysfunction, in the crippling attitudes and rusted-on behaviours that make life so unbearable for so many, in what the African philosopher Akil Mbembe calls necropolitics. Christ the Liberator, who banished the demons of ancient imagination, now brings liberation from the many genuine demons of poisonous contemporary reality. The Church's saints and all its redeemed sinners bear witness to this, that God makes a difference through Jesus Christ, that life can be different, that hopeless situations can be changed, and that there's a force of love, a force of love at work in the world beyond the power of evil, beyond the power of death. Isaiah knew it. The gospel writers knew it. And modern Christians discover it too. The same life-giving reality, although in our very differently imagined world. Now, I want you to notice in today's gospel what Jesus will not do. He won't stay put and set up a healing shrine in Capernaum, becoming a cult leader for all those whose lives he touched so powerfully. Indeed, he refuses to be known as a wonder worker altogether. That way lies fanaticism and all sorts of crowd manipulation. Instead, Jesus withdraws to be with God in prayer. And then he tells his disciples, who come to him all eager for some more excitement, what? That it's time to move on, to spread the good news more widely, acting locally but thinking globally, if you like, to reverse a well-known axiom. This universal mission of Christ is something that St. Paul explores and celebrates in our second reading today. And the way that Paul describes and commends it needs to be understood by the church and taken to heart. Yes, for Paul, this is the great and strong God of Israel, who we meet in the particularity of Jesus. But for Paul, in our readings today, this God has no hang-ups about the company God keeps, the boundaries God crosses, the welcomes God issues, and the rules that God breaks. For Paul, the law is no longer a badge of religious favoritism. It's no longer a marker of favored insider status for Israel. Rather, it's a pointer to something far bigger, something far richer, far more humane and universal. God's power and largeness, according to Paul today, are displayed by the breadth of his reach. We see it in the calmness of the encounters that Paul describes, this non-anxious mixing with who knows who, and all for the sake of a whole world that God loves. So friends, there's a lesson here for all those anxious, worried, so-called conservative Christians in our Anglican Church and elsewhere, who think that God needs their protection, who think that God's message needs their protection, while in truth, this is chiefly to ensure that their control of the narrative remains in place. I'm thinking of the so-called conservative Christians who can't abide independent-minded women, who hate everything LGBTIQ, and who need their punishing God to keep everyone in their proper place. God love them. They're such a burden to themselves, let alone to others. Sadly for them, friends, the Bible has a few surprises for them. Sadly for them, friends, the God of Jesus Christ has a different narrative, which is more powerful than theirs, but in an unexpectedly roundabout way. Instead, Jesus' strength is made perfect in weakness, in the weakness of the cross, in the mysterious gift of the resurrection, in the quiet but stubborn work of the Holy Spirit among us, and here, in the gentle, week by week subversiveness of the Eucharist. The Lord be with you.